Lecture topic, Abdullah bin Abbas, part 1.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wassalatu Wassalamu ala al-Mab'uthi Rahmatan lil Alameen, Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man walahum bi ihsanin ila yawmid din wa ba'd. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بل يريد الإنسان ليفجر أمامه يسأل أيان يوم القيامة فإذا برق البصر وخسف القمر وجمع الشمس والقمر يقول الإنسان يومئذ أين المفر وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم اللهم فقهه في الدين وعلمه التأويل أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, it is an accepted fact without fear of contradiction that in every academic class there are some dropouts. In every family, in every extended family, there are some fallouts. Regardless of how brilliant the teacher is, how competent the parent is, and how impressive the methodology is. Society refers to these individuals as the rebel of the class or the black sheep of the family. This again is the absolute miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there is no dropout sahabi. Every companion is a beacon of light, and study the biography of any companion, whether he spent a minute in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or years, you will find guidance, direction and navigation. It is the pinnacle of sadness and the height of misfortune. It is the pinnacle of sadness and the height of misfortune that while you and I enjoy such a broad spectrum of Sahaba to whom we can relate and identify, the youth with the youth, the females with the women, the men with the men of Sahaba, yet we choose to respect, revere and idolize so-called celebrities whose private and personal lives are in absolute shambles. Occasionally when the media just touches the surface of their private life and exposes a glimpse, it gives off such a stench that you don't want to come closer. With the focus on youth, I thought briefly I present before you the biography of one of the shining stars amongst the youth and the galaxy of Sahaba, and that was none other than Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. As I briefly, one who can do justice to the life of a Sahabi, as I briefly walk you through the noble life of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, we will find lot of points of guidance, reference and direction. May Allah inspire the speaker first and one and all, Amen. That we relate to him with the eye of learning and we internalize all his beautiful qualities. The scholars write, هَذَا السَّحَابِيُّ الْجَلِيلُ مَلَكَ الْمَجْدَ مِنْ أَطْرَافِهِ فَمَا فَاتَهُ مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ The Sahabi had secured every possible privilege that a believer can secure and every possible privilege that a young man can have. فَمَا فَاتَهُ مِنْهُ شَيْءٌ He lacked absolutely nothing. When I say he lacked nothing, I will explain neither from the worldly side nor from the religious side. فَقَدْ اجْتَمَعَ لَهُ مَجْدُ الصَّحْبَةِ The greatest privilege that a human can enjoy is being the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was born in the latter part of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the point that historians write, وَلَوْ تَأَخَّرَ مِيلَادُهُ لَمَا شَرُفَ بِصَحْبَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ If he was born a decade later, he could potentially be deprived of this privilege. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored him with the opportune time that he was born in the lifespan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So number one, he enjoys the privilege of being a sahabi. Number two, wa majdul qarabati fahuwa ibnu ammi nabiyyillahi salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. He is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, we say this relishly and rightfully so if we are related to a prominent personality, my uncle, my nephew, my cousin. Imagine the privilege of Ibn Abbas that he says, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is my cousin. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is my cousin. Now, anybody familiar with the genealogy, the ancestry and the noble lineage of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would know that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma enjoys this very same privilege. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma enjoys the very same privilege. Up until Adnan, in the ancestry of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there is no difference of opinion. There onwards, there is difference of opinion. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's lineage, we all know, or we all ought to know, Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib bin Hashim bin Abd Manaf bin Qusay bin Kilab bin Murra bin Ka'b bin Luwai bin Ghalib bin Fahr bin Malik bin Nadhar bin Kinana bin Khuzaymah bin Mudrika bin Ilyas bin Mudhar bin Nazar bin Ma'ad bin Adnan. Till Adnan has been secured without doubt amongst the scholars. This very same noble lineage of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the prestigious lineage that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma shares. Abdullah ibn Abbas, ibn Abdul Muttalib, ibn Hashim, ibn Abd Manaf, ibn Qusay, ibn Kilab, ibn Murra, ibn Ka'b, ibn Luwai, ibn Ghalib, ibn Fahr, ibn Malik, ibn Nadhar, ibn Kinana, ibn Khuzaymah, ibn Mudrika, ibn Ilyas, ibn Mudhar, ibn Nazar, ibn Ma'ad, ibn Adnan. So the privilege of being the relative of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the privilege of being the companion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and undoubtedly the salient feature of Ibn Abbas, it's synonymous to his name, and that was knowledge. وَمَجْدُ الْعِلْمِ فَهُوَ بَحْرُ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدْ وَحَبْرُهَا. He undoubtedly was an ocean of knowledge and one of the greatest scholars that the annals of Islamic history has seen. But again, knowledge is beautiful. Someone said, يَا أَهْلَ الْقُرْآنِ زَيِّنُوا الْقُرْآنَ بِعَمَلِكُمْ. يَا أَهْلَ الْقُرْآنِ زَيِّنُوا الْقُرْآنَ بِعَمَلِكُمْ. It is action and character that makes the beauty of a man. Just this morning, my honorable father sent me a very beautiful message. May Allah reward him. And I share this, and it's food for thought for one and all. They say in English, be more concerned of your character than your reputation. Because your character is what you actually are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. Be more concerned of your character than your reputation. Because your character is what you actually are. Your reputation is merely the assumption of people. We're trying to preserve an image and a reputation, and we compromise in the character. When it came to character in the life of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, وَمَجْدُ التُّقَى فَقَدْ كَانَ صَوَّامًا بِالنَّهَارِ قَوَّامًا بِالْلَّيْلِ مُسْتَغْفِرًا بِالْأَسْحَارِ بَكَّاءً مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Standing by night in tahajjud and spending the entire day observing the fast and crying profusely out of the fear of Allah were the common qualities in the life of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. وُلِدَ قَبْلَ الْهِجْرَةِ بِثَلَاثِ سَنَوَاتِ. Born 3 years before the migration of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Medina Munawwara, which obviously means, if you're familiar with Islamic history, وَلَمَّا تُوفِّيَ الرَّسُولُ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ كَانَ لَهُ 13 years فَقَطْ. When the son of Nabuwat set, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, he leaves behind a young Ibn Abbas at the age of 13. That forms the prime of his life. There is difference of opinion amongst the scholars. Some suggest he was 18, others younger, some hold the view of 13. But there is consensus that he was a youngster. And that's sufficient for our discussion. There is consensus on the fact that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left him behind as a young boy. Now we know the culture to which the youth of today are exposed. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, despite the tenderness of his age, فَقَدْ حَفِظَ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ عَنْ نَبِيِّهِمْ 1,660 حَدِيثًا أَثْبَتَهَا الْبُخَارِيُّ وَمُسْلِمٌ فِي صَحِيحَيْهِمَا. In the tenderness that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam leaves him, yet in his passion for knowledge, he secures and adequately conveys to this ummah 1,660 ahadith. A significant portion of which is found in the authentic compilation of Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayh. When his mom gave birth to him, لَمَّا وَضَعَتْهُ أُمُّهُ لُبَابَ بِنْتَ الْحَارِثَ الْهِلَالِيَّةَ الْمُسَمَّى بِأُمِّ الْفَضْلِ Better known as أُمُّ الْفَضْلِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا Her name was لُبَابَ بِنْتَ الْحَارِثِ حَمَلَتْهُ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ She brought this young newborn child and presented him before the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم فَحَنَّكَهُ بِرِيقِهِ The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم put his blessed saliva in the mouth of Ibn Abbas فكان أول شيء دخل جوفه ريق النبي المبارك الطاهر The first thing that entered the system of this young boy was the blessed saliva of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم Now, we know with our saliva or perhaps with mine, I know is germs. With the saliva of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ودخلت معه الحكمة والتقوى If you see in the commentary of the tafasir The incident that prompted the revelation of the verse وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا فَإِن بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيءَ إِلَى أَمْرِ اللَّهِ In Surah Hujurat, Allah speaks about this. The Prophet ﷺ was mounted on his mule and conveyance. Sahaba were rallying around him. The leader of the Munafiq, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, was present. بَالَ حِمَارُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ The mule of the Prophet ﷺ urinated. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, known for his dislike and hatred and antagonism towards Islam and the Prophet ﷺ, he expressed a facial gesture of disrespect. And he said, لَقَدْ آذَانَا This animal and this conveyance of the Prophet ﷺ has caused us great discomfort. Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu was present. Now when you talk of love for the Prophet ﷺ, he said, zip your mouth. لَبَوْلُ حِمَارِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أَطْيَبُ رِيحًا مِّن مِسْكِكِ لَبَوْلُ حِمَارِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أَطْيَبُ رِيحًا مِّن مِسْكِكِ The urine of the mule of the Prophet ﷺ is more fragrant than your musk. We're not speaking of the urine of the Prophet ﷺ. This riwayat comes in all the tafasir, Jalalain, Madarik al-Tanzil and many others. We are speaking of the urine of the mule of the Prophet ﷺ is more fragrant than your musk. If that is the condition of the urine, can you imagine the saliva from that blessed lips? وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ سِنَّ التَّمِيزِ When Ibn Abbas was age of understanding, how old was he? 7 years. During the time of Sahaba, a child at the age of 7 was considered a child of understanding, with whom you can interact, who will respond, who will communicate, who will understand. Today I'm afraid you cannot speak to a boy at the age of 17. And in the era of Sahaba, maturity, integrity, composure, balance, vision, understanding, Ibn Abbas at the age of 7, لَازَمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مُلَازَمَةَ الْعَيْنِ لِأُخْتِهَا He became inseparable from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَكَانَ يُعِدُّ لَهُ مَا أَوْضُئِهِ إِذَا هَمَّ أَن يَتَوَضَّى It was Ibn Abbas who prepared the water for the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam to perform ablution. وَيُصَلِّي خَلْفَهُ إِذَا وَقَفَ لِلصَّلَاةِ And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would perform the salah, Ibn Abbas would perform salah behind him. وَيَكُونُ رَدِيفَهُ إِذَا عَزَمَ عَلَى السَّفَرِ And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would embark on a journey, it was the little Ibn Abbas that would mount onto the back of the conveyance and tag along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And hence it was in this prime age, this very young, tender age, that the very famous hadith which is recorded in Tirmidhi, and Ibn Rajab Hanbali has done a phenomenal exploration of this hadith. He's written a kitab on this hadith. And this hadith was disseminated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Ibn Abbas before the age of puberty. Can you imagine what was his mental maturity? That what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam convey to him in this hadith that the scholars are still writing kitabs on this hadith? What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? Ya ghulam, oh young boy, while he's writing. Now that again, look at the interaction. Hasan radiallahu anhu said, I learned from my grandfather, Da'ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk. At the young, tender age of 6, when the Prophet ﷺ passes away, but this young child conveys to us a fundamental principle that is applied across fiqh: avoid doubtful things. Where did I learn this? From my Nana sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Today I'm afraid, what is the interaction of the paternal or maternal grandparents to the child? Go fetch Nana cigarettes. The little time that we get where we can interact and we can disseminate, look at how we abuse the time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells Ibn Abbas at this tender age that if the correct message is granted and conveyed to this child, then the life ahead is simplified. He said, Ya Bunayya, Ya Ghulam, Ihfadillaha Yahfadka. Oh my son, let me summarize it for you as a young child. How the Prophet simplifies it. You protect, preserve Allah, and Allah will protect, preserve and guard you. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Ta'arraf ilallahi fir raha ya'rifka fi shiddah. Oh my young boy, respond to Allah in prosperity. Worship Allah in prosperity. He will respond to you in all your crisis. This has been conveyed to a young child. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَا أَصَابَكْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكْ وَمَا أَخْطَأَكْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكْ. What avoided you wasn't meant to afflict you. What afflicted you wasn't meant to avoid you. رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامِ. The pen which records the destiny of every man has been lifted and the scripture is dry. One youngster came to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. Again, this was the quality of the youth of Sahaba, that they presented themselves at the Sahaba. So a youngster, هذا شاب يقبل على أبي الدرداء ويقول يا صاحب رسول الله أوصني. Oh, the companion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, advise me. This is the advice. Three advice that he gave to this youngster. If one and all can take this, wallah, it is the formula of success. He said, يا بني أذكر الله في السراء يذكرك في الضراء. Oh my youngster, remember Allah in your youth and you see what Allah does for you in your old age. Oh my young boy, remember Allah in your prime and you see how Allah preserves you in your old age. Ya bunayya kun aliman aw muta'alliman aw mustami'an wa la takun ar-rabi'. Oh my young boy, become a scholar of deen or become a student, or at its least listen to both attentively, but don't remain ignorant, you will be destroyed. Ya bunayya liyakunil masjidu baytak. Oh my son, make the masjid your abode. Fa inni sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul al masajidu baytu kulli taqiyyin. I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, the dwellings of the pious are the homes of Allah. وَقَدْ ضَمِينَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الرَّوْحَةَ وَالرَّاحَةَ. And Allah has taken the perpetual responsibility to keep that young boy in happiness, bliss and joy, the one who frequents the house of Allah. One group of youth was sitting in the pathway. هَؤُلَاءِ جَمَاعَةٌ مِّنَ الشُّبَّانِ جَلَسُوا عَلَى الطَّرِيقِ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْمَارِينَ وَيَتَحَدَّثُونَ. Sitting in the pathway, looking at the passerby and chatting away. In the terminology of youth, they were chilling. They were sitting and relaxing. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu passes by. He says, this is not a place where a believer stands. This is not a place where a believer stands. Number one, to protect your gaze, the best place is your house. And like the ulama have written, I just share this with you. They say, عَدَمِ قَصْدِ نَذَرْ كَافِي نَهِي هَي قَصْدِ عَدَمِ نَذَرْ ضَرُورِي هَي. It's a bit of an intricate quotation, which essentially means, it's insufficient to say, I did not intend to cast a gaze at a strange woman. You have to deliberately intend not to cast the gaze. In other words, you've got to be conscious of your locations. And then he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْجُلُوسِ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ فَإِنَّهُ يُلْهِي وَيُلْغِي. Oh youth, avoid loitering in the malls. This is emphatic. Now you're talking of the marketplace during the era of Sahaba, which didn't have the evils of today. And what did he say? إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْجُلُوسِ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. For Allah's sake, don't congregate in the malls and the halls. فَإِنَّهُ يُلْهِي وَيُلْغِي. This will take you and throw you far from your Allah. The famous riwayat that comes in Ibn Hibban, which is mentioned in Mishkat Sharif as well, in the first volume on page 75, where a learned person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked, what is the noblest piece of land? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I don't know, I will ask Jibreel and bounce it off him, get the answer and forward it to you. When Jibreel came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Jibreel, Jibreel alaihi salam said, mal mas'ulu anha bi'a'lama min as-sa'il. I'm afraid I equally do not have the answer, but I will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jibreel then interacts with Allah, and subsequent to his interaction, he returns. But listen to this one point, perhaps it has not come across your research or your reading. He says, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِنِّي دَنَوْتُ مِنَ اللَّهِ دُنُوًا مَا دَنَوْتُ مِنْهُ قَطُّ. I came so close to Allah that never previously have I ever come so close to Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَكَيْفَ. And elaborate. He said, كَانَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفَ حِجَابٍ مِّن نُورٍ. There were 70,000 veils of light between me and Allah. Now when I read this, my hair stood on ends and I made dua for the sharih of this hadith. I gave you the reference in Mishkat Sharif, the first volume, page 75. Then in the footnotes on Hashia number 6, there is the commentary of the commentator that he's written there. He says, وَلَعَلَّ زِيَادَةَ تَقَرُّبِهِ فِي هَذِهِ الْمَرَّةِ لِتَعْظِيمِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَقَدْ يَزِيدُ الْمُحِبُّ فِي احْتِرَامِ رَسُولِ الْحَبِيبِ لِأَجْلِ الْحَبِيبِ. If you could appreciate this in Arabic. The scholars of hadith explore why did Jibreel enjoy such a proximity to Allah, which previously he did not enjoy. They say the reason for that is that in this current interaction, Jibreel came as the envoy and the messenger of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So because of the love that Allah has for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah gave more hospitality to Jibreel also. Because Jibreel did not come as Jibreel now, but he came as the messenger of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَقَدْ يَزِيدُ الْمُحِبُّ فِي احْتِرَامِ رَسُولِ الْحَبِيبِ لِأَجْلِ الْحَبِيبِ. This is mentioned in the Hashia number 6. That now Jibreel is the envoy of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah said, خَيْرُ الْبِقَى مَسَاجِدُهَا. The noblest piece of land is the masjid. وَشَرُّ الْبِقَى أَسْوَاقُهَا. And the most evil piece of land is the marketplace. Again, the scholars of hadith, jazahumullahu anna khayral jaza. They raise another potential question. That how can the market and the mall be referred and identified as the most wicked place when there are many other locations much more evil in the form of clubs, pubs and casinos, yet the marketplace and the mall has been identified as the most evil place? They answer very beautifully that these places ought to be non-existent. They don't supposed to exist in an ideal society. Hence Islam does not include them because they weren't supposed to take place. A market and a mall is a place of commerce, transaction and trade, which has its merit and its benefit. But out of the things that have its merit and benefit, this is the most vulnerable place where the youth can slip. So let us take that to heart. How many youth aren't there who loiter there, and unfortunately from there they are dragged into a host of evils. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma mounted behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. غَدَى لَهُ كَظِلِّهِ يَسِيرُ مَعَهُ النَّاسَارُ وَيَدُورُ فِي فَلَكِهِ كَيْفَمَا دَارُ. He tags along the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inseparable, doesn't leave him for a second. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day calls him and says, youngster, Umar ibn Abbas, come and perform salah next to me. أَشَارَ إِلَيَّ أَنْ أَقِفَ بِإِزَائِهِ فَوَقَفْتُ خَلْفَهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commenced the salah. Ibn Abbas said, I just slightly retracted and moved to the back. When the salah was completed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mala alayya, he turned towards me and he said, ma mana'aka an takuna bi izai ya Abdullah. Oh Abdullah ibn Abbas, I asked you to stand in line with me. Why did you stand slightly behind me? He said, anta ajallu fi ayni wa a'azzu min an uwaziyaka ya Rasulallah. Oh my master, now this is a youngster, look at respect. If youth, ad-deenu kulluhu adab. Another name for our religion is respect. Another name for our religion is respect. The Quran referred to the husband of the woman who intended seducing Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam. وَأَلْفَ يَا سَيِّدَهَا لَدَ الْبَابِ. Allah referred to her husband as her leader, her guardian. Unfortunately, today we know what's the condition in the marriages. On a lighter note, they say, why do couples shake hands on the wedding day? It's just a formality, like boxers shake hands before the fight begins. Why do couples shake hands on the wedding day? It's a formality, like boxers shake hands before the fight begins. Say, a person holds his wife's hand on the wedding day out of love, and after marriage out of self-defense. Respect. Oh, Ibn Abbas, why didn't you? Islam teaches the woman to serve the husband and the man to respect the spouse. Understand the terminologies, servitude and respect. Study, this is just a phrase that encompasses the narrations that are mentioned in this regard. He said, oh my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your position is too lofty. How can I dare stand in line with you? This was enough to move the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I spoke about this recently and I just touch on the topic again. We have become accustomed to requesting du'as. Study the lives of Sahaba. Seldom they requested it, they always earned it. This has become a norm in our requests for du'as. Earn the du'a. When he displayed respect, automatically the hands lifted and the tears rolled. Allahumma atihi al-hikmah. Allah, this youngster showed me so much respect. You inspire him with wisdom. Now this very Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhumah says, Madarik al-Tanzil, the concluding verses of Surah Nuh, where Allah speaks of the curse of Nuh and Allah speaks of the dua of Nuh. First Allah mentions the curse. رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا. رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا. إِنَّكَ إِن تَذَرُهُمْ يُضِلُّوا عِبَادَكَ وَلَا يَلِدُوا إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا. Oh my Lord, they have caused havoc on this earth. And there is no hope from the generation to come. Oh my Lord, wipe the infidels out. The curse of the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma mentions at this juncture. First the curse, thereafter he makes a supplication in the favor of the believers. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِمَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِي وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Oh my Lord, forgive me and my parents. One narration is his parents were believers. Other narration is parents refer to Adam and Hawa. وَلِمَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِي أَيْ سَفِينَتِي. Those who enter my house or who board my ark, meaning embrace my faith. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says, if Allah accepted the curse and destroyed the infidels, why won't He accept the dua and forgive the believers? If Allah accepted the curse and destroyed, why will Allah not accept the dua and forgive? So it is the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How will Allah not accept this supplication? فاستجاب الله دعوة نبيه فآت الغلام الهاشمي من الحكمة ما فاق به أساطين الحكماء. In the tenderness of this young boys, in the infancy, in the initial stages, this one respect that he displayed, he captured the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The tears rolled from his eyes, the tongue responded, the heart flowed. Allah gave him such wisdom that is unparalleled and unprecedented. If only respect and adab can come into our youth, it will make a world of difference. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put this thought in my mind as I'm speaking now. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's two daughters were married to Utba and Utaiba, the sons of Abu Lahab, prior to him wedding them to Uthman radiyallahu anhu. After the nikah was performed, the marriage was not consummated. So the two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were respectively married to the two sons of Abu Lahab, Utba and Utaiba. When the verses were revealed, Tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tab, where Allah condemned him because of the manner in which he used derogatory language against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told his children that Ra'si min Ra'sikuma haram. I disown you if you don't divorce the daughters of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. History bears testimony to the fact. History bears testimony to the fact that one was polite and apologetic and respectful in divorcing. Allah gave him hidayat and he was favored with iman. The other was harsh, rude, abrupt, hostile, arrogant. Allah's Nabi cursed him and he died as a kafir. Allahumma sallit alayhi kalbam min kilabik. Both divorced. One was polite and apologetic, respectful and courteous. One was harsh and arrogant, abrupt and hostile. The great lesson we learn from the life of Ibn Abbas is respect. The salient quality in his life was knowledge, studying his life. And this is where Allah took him. وَقَدْ سَلَكَ الْفَتَى إِبْنَ عَبَّاسِ إِلَى الْعِلْمِ كُلَّ سَبِيلٍ وَبَذَلَ لِأَجْلِ تَحْسِيلِهِ كُلَّ جُهْدٍ. He exhausted all the avenues and exerted himself to the maximum. It is mentioned in the famous narrations, Bukhari and other kitabs. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu says, مَكَثْتُ سَنَةً أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَسْأَلَ عُمَرَ بْنَ الْخَطَّابِ عَنْ آيَةً فَمَا أَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ أَسْأَلَهُ هَيْبَةً لَهُ. That I had the passion to know the commentary of one verse. And I knew the man who has this knowledge was Umar radiallahu anhu. For 1 year I followed him, when's the right time? But every time I look at him, the awe just puts me back. Again we learn that we should look at the opportune time to approach the scholars and not impose ourselves upon them. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says, I followed Umar for 1 year. And then after 1 year, hatta idha kunna bi ba'dhi tariq, we were on Hajj. Umar radiallahu anhu excused himself to perform ablution. I said, this is a good time, let me strike now. I excuse myself. While making wudu, I said, Umirul Mu'mineen, can I ask you a question? He said, go for it. It's after 1 year. And then we say, how much sabr must I make? After all, there's a limit. Wallah, there is no limit. I spoke about this recently in one talk. Allah put this humble thought in my mind. We have a passion to secure everything beautiful. The Quran invites us to three beauties. We have distanced ourselves from it so far that we don't even know this can be identified as beautiful. Allah says, فَاصْبِرْ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا فَاصْفَحِ الصَّفْحَ الْجَمِيلِ وَاهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. Allah speaks of three beauties in the Quran. If the husband and the wife has it, I promise regardless of your circumstances, your marriage will hold water and it will survive. Allah says, oh Muhammad, persevere, but I don't want any ordinary sabr, I want the beautiful sabr. Child says, I want a phone, but it must be Nokia. It must be a branded one. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want sabr, but beautiful sabr. فَاسْفَحِ الصَّفْحَ الْجَمِيلِ. I want you to overlook, but not what insulting. You need to overlook certain things, but it must be in a beautiful way. وَاسْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَهْجُرُهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. And there are some you will never resolve their problems. Ignore them, but don't ignore them anyway. Ignore them in a beautiful way. Ignore them in a beautiful way. So the Quran tells us of three forms of beauty as well. His beautiful sabr, His beautiful forgiveness as well. Let us understand that as well. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma comes to Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhuma and he says, "Man illatani tadhaharata 'ala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wasallam min azwajihi." Allah says in the Quran that there are two of his spouses that they plotted amongst themselves, obviously unwittingly. A spouse and the consort of a Nabi will never deliberately hurt the feelings of a Nabi, unwittingly, unintentionally, but it caused pain to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu wanted to know who these two spouses and consorts were. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Tilka Aishatu wa Hafsa." This is Aisha and Hafsa radiallahu anhu, that's all. For 1 year he said, "I followed Umar ibn Khattab for this." As long as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, every day he learnt. يَنْهَلُ مِن مَعِينِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَمْتَدَّدْ بِهِ الْحَيَاتُ فَلَمَّا لَحِقَ الرَّسُولُ الْكَرِيمُ بِجِوَارِ رَبِّهِ. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was a young boy at the age of 13. He called one of the eminent and the prominent people. He said, "Come, let's go to the other Sahaba. It's an era rich with Sahaba. I'm sure we can still get a lot of hadith and narrations. Let's seize the opportunity." So this Sahabi, Hayatul Sahaba, makes mention of the narration. This Sahabi remarked to Ibn Abbas and said, "Wa ajaban laka ya Ibn Abbas. Atara an-nasa yaftaqiruna ilayk wa fihim ashabu Rasulillah." Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, "I understand your passion. I appreciate your zeal. I salute your desire. But there are so many prominent Sahaba. Who's going to turn to you and ask you for guidance and ruling?" Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, "My spirit was not discouraged or I did not deter in any way. I told him, I appreciate your comments and I moved on." And then he focused to those Sahaba that were there. Now again, the element of respect and humility. He says, "Kana idha balagani al-hadithu inda rajulin min sahabati Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ataytu baba darihi fi waqti qaylulatihi." If I come to know that a sahabi has one hadith, I would come to his door at the time of siesta. Tawassattu ridai inda atabati darihi. I would spread my shawl outside his house. Fayasfi alayya ar-rihu min at-turabi ma yasfi. The wind would blow and I would be enveloped in dust. وَلَوْ شِئْتُ أَنْ أَسْتَأْذِنَ عَلَيْهِ لَأَذِنَ لِي. I'm not talking of any school in particular, but by and large, you walk into any academic class, I'm afraid it's a nightmare to see the levels of respect. This is the respect and he enjoys. His profile is, he's the cousin of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, "I would sit myself outside. And if I had to knock the door, the man would have come out running. فَإِذَا خَرَجَ مِن بَيْتِهِ رَآنِي عَلَى هَذِهِ الْحَالِ." When he would exit, he would see me like this. He would say, "يَبْنَ عَمِّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ مَا جَاءَ بِكَ هَلَّا أَرْسَلْتَ إِلَيَّ فَآتِيَكَ." "Oh, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't insult us. You mean you are camping outside my house? Why didn't you send me the message and I would have come to you?" He taught us one principle, إِنَّ الْعِلْمَ يُؤْتَى وَلَا يَأْتِي. You have to come to knowledge and knowledge will never come to you. If it's coming to you and you have a teacher coming and educating your child at home, perhaps it might, you know, satisfy the norms of society, might appease your perception of piety that I have adequately educated my child in Islam. But as far as the element of respect and the nurturing and the molding that has to take place, that is defeated. You know, it's like saying you won the battle but you lost the war. You won the game but you lost the series. So good, you won the game but the series is not yours. You educated him, that's good. But the message that needed to be conveyed of respect is defeated. Musa alayhi salam is greater in rank than Khidr. That's the consensus. He has the tashri'i system of Allah. Khidr has the takweeni system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The interaction that the Quran draws, Musa alayhi salam appears as a student. Look at the tone of Musa, yet he is superior to his teacher. قَالَ لَهُ مُوسَى هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. I ask of your kindness, your majesty, if it is possible, and you could afford me the privilege that I sit in your company and be favored with the pearls of wisdom that you disseminate. This is that Musa who could return Allah's Nabi in Mi'raj back. That's his position. But this is how he kneels himself. Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, katib al-wahi, the scribe of revelation, ra'su ahli al-madinati fil qada'i wal-fiqhi. He was the absolute authority in all the matters of fiqh. When Zayd ibn Thabit would mount onto his conveyance, yaqifu al-fata al-hashimuyu bayna yadayhi, wiqfata al-abdi bayna yaday mawla. Ibn Abbas would come running, kneel himself before the conveyance, ya'khudhu lahu zimama dabbatihi wa yumsiku rikabahu. He'll grip onto the reins of the horse, hold onto the saddle, then Zayd ibn Thabit would politely mount on. Zayd ibn Thabit will say, da'anka yabna ammi Rasulillah. Oh, the cousin of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't do this to me, I feel extremely humbled. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu used to say, hakadha umirna an naf'ala bi'ulama'ina. Well, what can I tell you, Zayd? This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. This is how we respect our learned scholars. The greatest, innal yateema yateemul ilmi wal adabi. Sayyidina Ali said, the greatest orphan is one who is not denied or devoid the shadow of a father. The one who is devoid of respect is the biggest orphan in the world. So what would Zayd ibn Thabit do? He would say, arini yadak. Oh, Ibn Abbas, give me your hand. Mala alayha. He would then advance. Now look at the love Sahaba had. Look at the mutual relation. Qabbalaha. He would then kiss the hand of Ibn Abbas. And he will say, hakadha umirna an naf'ala bi ahli bayti nabiyyina. If that's the respect you have for the ulama, then this is the respect we have for the Ahle Bayt and the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Masruq is one of the greatest muhaddith and tabi'een. In three words, he summed up Ibn Abbas. He said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُهُ قُلْتُ أَجْمَلُ النَّاسِ وَإِذَا تَكَلَّمَ أَفْسَحُ النَّاسِ وَإِذَا تَحَدَّثَ أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ. When Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, when I looked at him, he had stunning beauty. He was one of the most handsome, jaseeman waseeman, طَوِيلًا أَبْيَض, fair, tall, beautiful features. And he had a very, very impressive personality with striking features. There is a narration, the one who stands up for tahajjud, Allah will put a divine light on his face. Abu Zayd Ansari, Nabi alayhi salam made dua for him. Allahumma jammilhu wa adim jamalahu. In Isaba there is a narration, Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu's eye was injured, so it slipped out of his socket. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, make dua that Allah must cure me. I have a wife that she loves me and I love her. And I don't want, because of perhaps the defect of my eye, she loses love for me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua. Allah restored the gaze, and that gaze became brighter than the other eye, and the wife and husband had just so much muhabbat. Isaba has the narration. Abu Zayd Ansari, Nabi alayhi salam said, Allahumma jammilhu wa adim jamalahu. Allah, you make him handsome and you keep him handsome forever. He went over the 100 mark, he had no traces of old age. When I looked at Ibn Abbas, ajmalun nas, he had true beauty. When he spoke, I said, afsahun nas, the most eloquent, the most articulate, the most profound. This again is the beauty of Islam. While it exhorts us to advance spiritually, it doesn't deny us the opportunity to excel materially. So Ibn Abbas was the most profound orator you could possibly see. In Hayatul Sahaba, under the commentary of Babu Ta'allumir Rajul Lisan al-A'da li Dharurati Diniya, where we've been exhorted to learn foreign languages for interacting for Islam. On the strength of Hakim in Mustadrak, Umar ibn Qais makes mention of the narration, my hair stood on ends, in Kitabul Ilm. He says, كان لابن الزبير مئة غلام يتكلم كل واحد منهم بلغة أخرى فكان ابن الزبير يكلم كل واحد منهم بلغته. Abdullah ibn Zubair had 100 slaves. Every slave spoke a different language. Abdullah ibn Zubair mastered 100 languages. He spoke to every slave respectively in his own language. Study the local language and infiltrate the rural areas. Wallah, you won't have the xenophobia. One verse of the Quran that the Sahaba had that did not allow xenophobia to exist. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. They loved the influx of migrants from neighboring places. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. And study when they migrated. And then when the spoils of Banu Nadir came forward and they were banished. Read Surah Hashar. And then the Prophet ﷺ gathered the Ansar. And he said, listen, you've done a phenomenal job in accommodating these migrants. You've given it to them all. If you allow me the wealth that has come, I give it to them. Make them independent. And then I can financially relieve them of you. So they can now start commencing their life independently. Sa'd radiallahu anhu stood up. And he said, O Prophet of Allah, give them all the wealth and leave them in our homes also. When Sa'd said this, the others stood up and they say, we conquer his view. Today if you stand up, what will say? Brother, speak for yourself. Speak for yourself. He doesn't echo the sentiments of the extended family. I beg to differ.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.